We're trying to raise our children in the way of the Lord. So what I tell my daughter, Alaya, is if, you know, she always, actually I was at another church visiting, I wasn't preaching, and she said, "Daddy, when are you going to get up and preach?" I'm like, "Honey, I'm not talking this morning," and because she likes to share her Bible verse. So, Alaya, you ready? Okay, can you say your name?
I've been holding a microphone.
Okay, you can do that. Here, come over here. Can you go right there? Okay.
Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be my name. My kingdom come, my will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, give us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespasses against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job, Sleepy. Good job. See why it's a tough act to follow? I generally don't get cheers like that, but I kind of bribe her with a treat. She's getting a little breath mint. That's what she wanted. So I'm like, all right. It's pretty simple. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2? And go to the next slide. Thanks. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And as you're turning there to 1 Timothy 2, we'll start in verse 1. A lot has happened in a year since I've been here last. And I started a new organization called Church United. And I'll tell you kind of what God has wired me for his kingdom. When I was a little kid, one of my gifts is evangelism. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to transform lives. I mean, we don't transform them. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's through the power of the Spirit and the blood of Christ that redeems and transforms lives. And you all know my story. I shared it here a year ago that I came out of the homosexual lifestyle. And it was so evident, if God can change one evil, wicked life, can't he change your life? Can't he change your neighbor's, your coworker's life? Can't he change your city? Can't he transform your county, our state, and our nation? I believe we have a God that powerful who can do that. And I was watching the power of God move when his church came together. I don't even have time to unpack all this, but you can, if you want, you can this week, you can read John 17, when Christ prays to God and he desires that his disciples would be one like Jesus is with God. What does that look like? How does that play out in our culture, in our society? What does that look like? I know you all know Pastor Bob went to Washington, D.C. with us last year and then again this past May with Church United. And incredible things are happening. Last year in May, and I talked about this a little bit, we had 70 pastors from California in the center of the rotunda praying, and we stopped LGBT legislation. And let me clarify, we prayed and pleaded and asked the Lord, and the next morning that bill died on the floor of the House of Representatives. And I started to see something. Wait a minute. When God's people come together and unite, when his church, his body, we can stop evil. We can stop injustice. We can stop bad legislation. We can protect and do things as God has called us to live through Scripture, through a biblical worldview. And so I started kind of connecting this and just really felt God leading me to begin Church United. Because I saw when we unite, we would win. So the reason I'm reading out of 1 Timothy 2, this, the words of Paul, and Paul's one of my heroes amongst many, but let me read what he asks us to do. First of all, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, first of all, then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you join me in praying? Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this family, your church, the body of Christ, Lord. And I get to be privileged to see different churches and connect with different pastors and leaders within your church. Father, I just dedicate this morning to you. I pray my words would be yours. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in and through me and you would touch the hearts and lives of men, women, and children here in this community at the Springs. God, I pray you would advance your kingdom through them, Lord. That we would be a people that would seek your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you go to the next slide. So it's almost been 1 year. October, I officially launched Church United. And in February, I took 24 pastors of regional influence from across the state of California. And we went to Sacramento on the floor of the assembly. And if you can read in the little red writing, actually put Church United and the date, February 2017. If you guys know Monty Sharp, a couple of you mentioned a Bible boot camp. I speak at Bible boot camp for young people. Monty Sharp is in this picture from this region, as well as attorney Bob Tyler with Advocates for Faith and Freedom. And I brought them to Sacramento because honestly, I believe it's one of the most wickedest capitals in the nation. So, Jim, why are you bringing pastors to our capital? The church shouldn't be political. We only talk about Jesus. And I'm told that time and time again, or I hear that rhetoric. So where in Scripture do you see that? Where does it say that? Today we read from the Apostle Paul. What did he say? Pray for those in authority. Pray for kings and those in authority. And I would ask pastors, okay, if we're going to pray for these people, what are their names? And guess what? Most of them don't even know the names of the elected officials. And here we're told to pray for them. How do we do that? What does that look like? So I brought them up, and I said, we scheduled appointments for them to meet with their California senator and their assembly person. They went, and they met, and they prayed. And you know what? Most of them had a different biblical worldview. But as I read Scripture, and I don't have time to unpack all the stories through Scripture, but do you remember the story of Joseph? Did Pharaoh have a biblical worldview? Heck no. They were pagans. They didn't believe in God. But Joseph had the ear of the most powerful man at the time. Look at Esther. God used a woman to save the Israel people, the Israelites. Incredible story. And God said, if you're not going to be obedient, then I'll raise someone else up. But she was, and she actually potentially could have lost her life for coming to the king. Look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nehemiah. Do you see a theme? Find a Bible where the people in the most powerful places aren't mentioned, and God's people are engaging with them. Now, God's people may not be the top dog, but they're looking to them for wisdom, advice, and counsel. Oh, but Pastor Jim, that's the Old Testament. That's all, you know, we're in the New Testament times now. Christ has already come, okay? Look at John the Baptist. He called King Herod, again, one of the most powerful men, out on a moral issue. You know what it was? He was committing adultery. He said, you're sleeping with a woman who wasn't your wife. And it cost him his head. It cost him his life. But he preached from a biblical worldview and preached truth without fear and to the most highest powerful person known at the world at the time. If you take a look at the book of Luke, it's written to the most excellent Theophilus. And it is believed that as a high-ranking Roman official that book was specifically addressed to. Probably not even a believer. But if we start looking through the Scripture through that lens, well, then how do people come to know Jesus if we're not in relationship with them? That's my heart. I know how he transformed my life. How can we transform California? So I was in relationship with my assemblyman since 2012. And in October, I led him to Christ at Chili's. Okay? So you might say, how do you do that? So I'm going to pause for a moment. Can you just imagine and think, if the pastors in our state, or even you, if you're in relationship with your elected official, led one member to Christ, we could change our capital overnight. Oh yeah, I forgot about Jonah in the book of Nineveh. Remember what happened there? The whole wicked city changed, and Jonah was ticked because God spared it. Well, they all repented, and he relented from sending disaster. Couldn't we do that in California? God's big enough. Why not? So I lead my assemblymen to Christ, and you know what he says? I want you to come meet my chief of staff and my staff. They need to come know you, and we're here to serve you whatever we need in your community, Jim. I was like, what? Sure. So he puts together a lunch. Guess what? I'm at the lunch. We all have a lunch. He treats me to lunch and says, my staff is here to serve you. Tell us what you need. Tell us what the community needs. And I'm like, think of that influence, church. I'm only one dude. He's an elected official representing cities, a whole region, and where I live. What incredible influence. And then he had a town hall meeting about a month ago, actually a couple weeks ago. You know what he did? He said, Pastor Jim, can you open the meeting in prayer? And guess what? I pray in the name of Jesus always. Always. Even when the government or people say, you can't speak in that name, in my city I've done that before. People, I sit back down in the audience, you can't pray in that name. You can't talk like that. I fear God and not man and not governments. But think of that, a relationship, invited. So I pray, and then assembly person stands up and says, Jim's my spiritual leader or my spiritual mentor. I was like, wow, Lord, look at that. That's just one person. I think Paul knew what he was talking about praying for those in authority, for kings and those in authority over us. Let me go ahead and take you to the next slide. I think it's our video. So I think the video's next, but this photo is almost, we took 100, Church United took 157 pastors to Washington, D.C. this past May. I think the trip was epic. I told you the little miracle that happened, that LGBT legislation ended in May of 2016 with 70 pastors. And this year we scholarship. When I say we took, Church United paid and scholarshiped 157 California pastors. Okay, that number represented churches as small as 20 people, kind of like a home church, and as I think the largest church represented was 15,000. And guess what? There were white, brown, and black pastors. We had every color, size, shape, everything. It was like the body of Christ, or at least the pastors representing the body of Christ. And I think that picture kind of gives you a snapshot of what it looked like. I remember one night I stood in front of that group and I was just like, this just feels like family. And I got to say something just from I just teared up. I got really emotional when three busloads full of pastors kind of ascended from California to the hotel, the Hyatt Hotel Capitol, which is right, literally right across the street from the United States Capitol. One by one, they started coming off. And as I greeted each one, I was just so moved. I could not believe that 157 California pastors went. And I'll tell you why. Because in 2011, 12, and 13, I couldn't get one to go. Not a one. I've been working with pastors since 2010 specifically. I was on pastoral staff at a church prior to getting involved in policy. But I asked my wife, Amanda, I said, you know what? I'm so confident in this. Let's take $6,000 out of savings. And we'll scholarship six pastors. That was in 2014. We made a video. And then 2015, 27 pastors went. And then in 16, 70, now 157. And my goal is 400 in 2018, all from California. I want to change my vision, the vision the Lord's given me. I want to change California for Christ. Thank you. So I want to share a snapshot from some of the pastors who attended the Church United Awakening Tour 2017.
I tell you, we serve a God who is not a God of second He's not a God. And I say this because I get choked up. He is a God of second chances, but he is not a God of second best. He is a God of the very first. He wants our first fruits, guys. I mean, when he calls us to be invested, he wants us to invest wholeheartedly. And so as we have enjoyed that second chance, and some of us, it's a third or fourth or fifth chance.
Amen.
But the grace is still there. The mercy is still there.
We have to pray for the whole system. We have to pray for the congressman. Every level needs prayer. I know some of my friends pray regularly, women coming together. But we don't talk about this. We're praying about a lot of things, but we're not specifically praying for the government in this very intentional way. And I feel like I need to do that more now.
We need each other. We are people. We are people of God. And we are of every race, every creed, every color. And so one of the things that's really impactful on this trip is that we see the church, black, white, Hispanic, male, female, tall, short, good looking, all working together, producing an effect, which is to mirror Jesus Christ to people who need him.
Being younger and taking history classes, you kind of, nothing comes alive until you're here and you're walking through the Capitol and you're seeing just documents and you know, statues. Just, it's so cool to see our history come alive when you're here.
I flew out here from San Diego. There were some other planes that came out from LAX. And being here in Washington, D.C. with 170 other pastors from all over California, from different denominations, they're coming in. And this isn't about, you know, there's no hierarchy system with the denominations here. Everybody's here for one purpose, and that's unity.
To hear that the congressmen, the people who are talking to us from the government, created a big impact. They have the heart and the message that we use as a preacher, as a pastor. They talking about the gospel. The gospel has to change the society. It's the same thing that we believe as a preacher.
And I think as a Christian, we're always a Christian no matter where we go. And so the Capitol has been a tremendous blessing for me. And to be able to pray in some of those rooms there and to sing in the dome of the Capitol. I mean, those are things that are life-changing.
I've watched the worship team have an anointing of empowerment that's downloading on these pastors and ministering to their souls. Not only that, every speaker that we've heard is igniting this fire that's already been there. It's like coals just sitting there, embers, but now it's on fire. It's a flame.
I'm going back and I want to share this hope that I know, that I see with my own eyes, that is hope for this nation.
So we're beginning to have an incredible impact in government. And I want to share just a couple of stories. Not all the 157 pastors made that photo we did of the large group because they were meeting with their members of Congress. There are 58 districts, or there's 58 counties. There's 53 congressional districts in California. So we have 53 House of Representatives in the United States Capitol. 41 were represented by the number of pastors there. So we almost literally covered every member of Congress. And we reached out to them wanting our pastors to go and meet with them. Some of them, a handful are believers, some are not. And even some, I'd say, even are antagonistic or anti-Christian, or whatever you want to call it, towards a biblical worldview. But we reached out to them anyway. In years past, our former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer, we met with her staffer, 12 pastors from California. We were told to leave when we were asked if we could pray. She wasn't even there. We just said, can we pray for you? And they said, no, you need to leave now, literally. We got shown to the door. And so we went in the center of the building outside the office, and we'd still continue to pray for her, but we respected their wishes. But we had other meetings with other members of Congress. And relationships, and this is a great story I love to tell. The woman, Shelley, up there, you guys know Maxine Waters? You know, Congresswoman Maxine Waters? Well, someone on my staff had mentioned, Jim, she's nuts. She's crazy. And I'm like, well, and you know, do the pastors really know what they're getting into? And I said, don't worry, let's just see what happens. And primarily she represents an African-American community, and the black pastors went to go meet with her. And I think they kind of had a preconceived idea. They wanted to do what they wanted to do and kind of had this, I don't know, I think they met beforehand before going to meet with her. And Shelley, who isn't African-American, obviously, she joined them, and she's not a pastor. But as she walked in there, Congresswoman Waters just went open-armed, gave her a hug, and said, how are you? And the pastor's mouth just dropped. Like, who is this woman? And they start talking and conversing. She starts, I won't repeat what she said, but something to the extent of, that terrible President Trump, I cannot believe what he's doing and how he's treating the illegals and the people of color. And she just went off at her displeasure of him as a leader. And she actually had a picture of the inauguration. All the members of Congress get one, and she, you know, handed that as a gift to Shelley. Because they're in a relationship. And you know what, Congresswoman Water, you know what she did? Do you remember Nadine, Miriam, the Middle Eastern woman who was pregnant in a prison, in jail, somewhere in the Middle East, I forget which country. And she's pregnant and all these things are happening to her and all the church in America is praying and interceding and trying to get her out and get her freed. And I think 2 months go by and nothing. Shelley tells Congresswoman Waters, she said, here's the situation. Can you help? In 2 days, she was freed. You know what she did? She got the Black Caucus to sign a letter to give it to John Kerry within over the weekend, and within 2 days, she would have been set free. Relationship, influence. Key. Look at that. You got all the church praying for 2 months and all this, and it was because of a relationship with one person, with another person, of a government official, and look what happened. She told me that story after they all met, and I'm like, oh my word, this is amazing. This is biblical. I read all throughout Scripture. And so kind of what I'm doing with Church United is to help pastors realize and engage. And they literally, I honestly believe what's happening in California, that we're going to have an awakening. Pastors are awakening and realizing we've neglected what Paul's talking about, just praying for those in authority. And what I've read throughout Scripture of God's people engaging. Next slide. So Church United, great, Jim. What's that? You get a bunch of pastors together? Yes, that's what I do. And people go, so what do you do? I disrupt pastors. What? What do? I disrupt pastors. What do you mean you disrupt pastors? That's exactly what I just said. I disrupt them. I get them out of their comfort zone. We bring them to the Sacramento. We take them to Washington, D.C., and they get disrupted. Now, in the video you saw, members of Congress, U.S. senators, and members of the House of Representatives coming and speaking to the pastors. Part of the strategy is, and when we're together in a large group, I only invite Christians to come and speak. Not exclusively, but that's just kind of till we kind of get them on board. So U.S. Senator Ben Sasse you saw in there. He loves the Lord, humble as can be. And he's the new guy. U.S. Senator James Lankford was in that video as well. He came and spoke directly to the pastors. You know what the pastors heard from them and the other members of Congress? We can't change America. We cannot change the culture. Government cannot do that. You know who's going to change the culture? It's the church. It's the people of God. It's from the pulpit. It's from the Word of God. That's how we change culture. Which it's kind of funny because, you know, generally when people go to D.C. or the capitals, you heard of lobbyists, they're asking the politicians for something. We want you to do something for us. Church United, we want to go love and serve. And we're not asking anything from them. We want to build a relationship. We want to pray with you. So another how a pastor got disrupted. There is a female member of Congress from the LA area that had a completely different worldview than this one pastor. It was only him that initially went to go meet with her. And when they met, she was like this. And the guy said, "So what do you want from me? Why are you here?" And Pastor Doug goes, "I just want to pray with you." And kind of like another member of Congress, where that, you know what, president and how what he's doing to the people here in California and threatening to cut off the funds, and these are people, and so, you know, this kind of whole dialogue's going on, and he just sat and listened. And kind of during the meeting, some other pastors kind of come walking in late. They sit down and kind of watching this dialogue go on, and he keeps hearing the Holy Spirit tell him, "Ask her again, how can I pray for you?" And he's kind of like going, "Really, Lord? She does not, you know, this is the body language. She doesn't want anything to do with that." And before they left, he just was obedient to that prompting and said, "How can I, are you sure there's not anything I can pray for you for?" And as her arms went from this to this, she said, "My husband just got diagnosed with cancer yesterday. Could you pray for that?" And the pastors came around her and prayed. What a powerful witness to be Jesus with skin on to people who may not even get to see much of Jesus, don't see much of Christ. And I tell you, I think part of that disruption for pastors is key, because politicians just think money and votes. You know, if you can, if you're one person, you don't really represent a lot, but if you're a pastor, you represent votes. Okay, I might give you the time of day. Because I doubt the church is going to give them any money. We all know how that goes. So it's, you know, and that was kind of something that was really eye-opening. Why would all these other members of Congress who love the Lord come speak to California pastors? Think about it, because we're not giving them money, and we're not bringing votes. We're not even in their state, some of them. Now, Kevin McCarthy, the leader of the majority party, he's out of Bakersfield. He did come and speak to us, and he's a believer. And that was really powerful. And people in D.C. are going, "Jim, how did you get these people to come? We can't even get them to come." And they're like multi-million-dollar organizations established. And honestly, I work in my backyard. I don't have an office. Because any money that comes in, I want to give it away back to the church, back to the pastors. That's kind of the model. And they're like, how did you get all these members of Congress? I'm like, "Well, I worship a mighty God that who can open doors, who can tell Pharaoh to let his people go or tell him not to do, and that's what happens." So after the pastors get disrupted, they're willing to unite. And it's been an incredible thing to watch, because they kind of get, "Wow, we've been asleep. I went to seminary. I got my Master of Divinity. I've been through Christian undergrad and graduate school and all this stuff. And guess how many classes I took on God's people involved in government? Zero. We don't even discuss it. And yet I'm like, what Bible are we all reading? Because I see God's people continuing interacting. So now the pastors are disrupted. Guess what they want to do? They want to unite. They want to come together and work together, because they see it's not about just them and their one little church, no matter how big or how small, but it's about the body of Christ coming together and being the body of Christ. And they want to unite. Let me give you an example in my backyard where this happened in North Orange County. A year ago, so this is 2015, David DeLeiden, Center for Medical Progress, releases a video, and Da Vinci Biologics is selling aborted babies and their parts. I think I may have even mentioned this here a year ago. I'm like, how is this most abhorrent thing happening in my backyard on my watch? Think about that. Aborted babies and their parts being sold. You could go on their website, and there's a catalog of all the parts and things you could purchase. It was horrendous. And after I called a meeting of pastors, 60 of them from North Orange County, we met, and someone pulled me aside and goes, "Jim, what are you going to tell them to do?" I said, "I don't know." He goes, you can't stand up on a bunch of leaders, pastors, and tell them you don't know what to do. That was the honest truth. I didn't know what to do. And I'm involved in policy and things like that. I had no idea. Well, so what do you do when you don't know what to do? Yeah, you looked up. Exactly. You asked God. God has all the answers. So I confessed that or shared that in front of this group. I said, I don't know what to do, but I do know what we can do. Let's begin to pray. Catholics, evangelicals, we did a year prayer vigils outside of Da Vinci Biologics. If you want, you can look it up online. It's all there. That last year, I didn't talk about this, last year when I was in D.C., when we were worshiping inside the United States Capitol, I stood up to one of the members of Congress because they were talking about life, and I said, I didn't know what to do. This is what's happening in my backyard. Next day, I get a call from Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. Like, who's that? Oh, she's the chair of the Select Committee on Infant Lives for the nation. She wants you to come talk to our staff. So I bring some pastors with me. We meet with them, and they say, we're investigating Da Vinci Biologics. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I get word of some other things going on with the Orange County DA, and guess what? In November 2016, almost a year ago, the Orange County District Attorney filed, Tony Rakakis, filed a $1.3 million lawsuit against Da Vinci Biologics to stop the practice. Now, what you may not know, that's actually legal in the state of California. But you cannot make a profit. And they were making like a 500, 400% profit on this stuff. And that's how we were able to kind of all say go in the back door to try to stop the practice. And so it's currently an active lawsuit. And what I saw was, again, the people of God coming together, praying and asking God to intercede for this particular issue. So there is a form of uniting. And then transform. As I mentioned earlier, God's transformed my life. He's transformed yours. Maybe you're here today and your life hasn't been transformed. We can pray for that at the end of my talk. I know Pastor Bob's out, but Pastor Reggie or anyone or Tony, anyone, we would love to lead you through that, what it means to give your life to Christ so you can have a transformed life. But I want to transform the culture. And I, again, like I said, I keep seeing when the church comes together, we can do that. Next slide. So here are my goals for 2018. We want to bring 200 pastors to Sacramento in February. I'd love to have Pastor Bob be one of those. He hasn't been on our awakening tours to Sacramento yet. And again, that model is let's meet with our members. If you don't know them, actually on Wednesday, Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, she's in this district. I know she's in Temecula? I think so. Okay, a couple. So she's in this area. I know she kind of spreads out through probably Riverside, San Diego counties, maybe a little bit of San Bernardino. I don't know the exact boundary lines, but she's going to be speaking to a bunch of pastors here from this region. So you're going to actually get an opportunity to meet her and I think the mayor from Temecula and a council person from Marietta will be at the meeting, but it's a pastor's lunch at the Marietta Conference Center, and really it's to help pastors build relationships with elected officials. And so anyway, part of that 200 pastor goal is to bring them to Sacramento and help build relationships. If you're not in relationship, how could you even lead someone to Christ if they're not a believer? And how do you pray for them? And then to bring, like I mentioned earlier, 400 pastors to Washington, D.C., this last year, my budget was $500,000. It hasn't been a year yet. I started in October. Actually, the fiscal year will end on December 31st. One of my board members, who's a high-capacity individual, said, Jim, that's pretty ambitious. He's kind of like shaking his head. I don't know if you're going to be able to hit that goal. And I've been able to raise $400,000. And when I say it's just me, I'm the only full-time person. And Desiree up here, who you'll meet in the back, she'll help at the table. She helped a little bit on the trip, and Tess works about 8 hours a week just to do some bookkeeping stuff. And I share that with you because God is just moving, and I'm watching Him. I'm watching it right before me. My eyes unfold, and I have a goal of $1.3 million for 2018 so we can fund all this and make it happen. Next slide. more about the impact Church United is having. I just literally, Friday night, was driving down the state of California, visiting pastors, and having them hear their stories of what's the impact we've made. Orville. You guys remember the dam? All those dam pastors up in Orville? The dam pastors in Orville prayed, and they will tell you a miracle happened that the spillway did not buckle and great devastation happened in their city. They also shared stories of, I got to meet with the sheriff and the mayor and to hear how God's people prayed and the disaster was averted. And so not only was the failure with the spillway a problem, but the next weekend, remember the torrential rains we had back in February? That was happening. And the pastors just prayed. And the huge storm, they were expected to get 8 to 12 inches of rain would have toppled, it would have toppled the whole crisis. It could not have handled the water. One of the pastors said they came out on that next Sunday, which was the 12th of February, and it was like the hand of God had pushed or kept the storm from coming in that part of the state and their region. And they didn't get any rain. The rest of the state got 8 to 12 inches of rain, and they didn't get anything. And here they were sharing the story, and so a bunch of them signed up to go to D.C., and in my mind, I'm thinking, what are all these Orville pastors doing? I want them from L.A. and Orange County and San Diego and, these big counties, Riverside. And God's like, no, this is my economy. And we got about 8 pastors from Orville going to D.C., and they wanted to share the story. Think about it. All the water that they provide for the entire state of California. What a key, talk about a key gatekeeper, a key region. They supply the water for the state. And yet they got to tell these incredible, miraculous stories. Petaluma, we just did almost all the pastors of Petaluma came together. It's the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, came together to do cultural impact team training. I know you guys started a cultural impact team about a year ago or got a little bit more involved with engaging in that way here in Murrieta. Also had a pastor that was so moved from Murrieta, he said, Jim, why would I want to go to Washington, D.C.? I don't need a scholarship. I've got the money. I can afford to pay to send our way. Why would I even want to go? Why would I want to go to the swamp? Why do I want to go to this place that's God forsaken? But he goes, I figured, it's a free trip. I'm going to go anyway. So he did. He came back and he says, this trip has so changed me. I'm now going to Murrieta City Council meetings. And I'm going to give you a check for $5,000, and if I had $1 million, I'd give it to you because I'm seeing the impact this ministry is having on pastors, how it not only changed me, but it's going to change other pastors. That was from one pastor. Your pastor, I love it. We actually came back and did a video of Pastor Bob, and he said, on my watch, I've allowed Satan to steal the culture, and I no longer can sit back on the sidelines and do that. I just met with in Los Angeles County with a network of about 100 Spanish-speaking pastors that are bringing a translator up, and they all want to go to D.C. I took some of their leaders this past trip, and they're just on fire to transform L.A. for Christ. In Orange County, I mentioned, Yorba Linda is where the Da Vinci Biologics is located, but Orange County, another thing where we were able to rally some pastors, Board of Education. And I don't know if you're hearing kind of the theme in this, but there we have an enemy that wants to silence and shut the church down and really make the church useless. What I'm saying is when the church comes alive, the power of the gospel advances. The truth of Jesus Christ advances. There's an organization called Freedom From Religion. Very real. Orange County, they threaten the Orange County Board of Education. Orange County Board of Education oversees all the public schools in Orange County, all of them. And they were being threatened to be sued. And two simple things, hey, you can no longer do invocations, before your meetings, and this horrible saying, "In God we trust," you've got to take that down. We will not tolerate, it's discriminatory, you know, yada, 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 all the rhetoric that they hear. And so one of the members on the board called me. Why? We're in relationship. Actually, he emailed me. He said, "Jim, we need your help. Because we're feeling the pressure, and it costs money to fight a lawsuit. It's real, you know, it's a whole lot easier just to make a decision and say, hey, we're not going to pray anymore, and let's just get rid of God. We'll just take him off the wall." Financially, that's a pretty smart thing to do. Because you don't have to pay attorneys and all kinds of stuff. But he said, you know what? The board needs to be encouraged. The board needs to hear from the leaders of the community. Could you get some pastors to show up? So about 15 pastors show up. And actually, that morning, I got to pray, do the opening prayer in Jesus' name. Yeah. And we all shared, pastor after pastor. Again, being in relationship. I'm in relationship with the bishop of the Diocese of Orange County, Catholic, Christ Cathedral. He couldn't make it, but he sent one of the deacons that, again, I'm in relationship with to come and represent the Catholics. You know how many Catholics are in Orange County? 1.3 million. So when he took the podium, you know what he told the members of the board? I'm representing 32 or 33% of Catholics in the county of Orange. And we're asking you to keep prayer and leave God on the wall. So we heard from all the pastors. Well, guess who showed up as well? Immigrants. Legal, illegal, I can't even tell you. I didn't ask. I didn't care. But immigrants came. And you know what they shared? We come from countries, when you remove God from culture, they do the most horrific, horrendous things to people. They come in, the governments come in and brutalize people, and they do unthinkable things. Do not ever, ever, they begged and pleaded to remove God from the culture, from the civic arena. Don't ever allow this country to do that, and don't ever be afraid from people threatening that. Because we come from countries like Hungary and Romania, where they came in and butchered people. Because when you remove God, there's no moral, there's no ethic, there's anything goes. And man is evil, we know that. And I'm sitting in the front row just weeping, hearing firsthand stories of our parents used to whisper our national anthem to my brother because it had the word of God in it. And the Russians said, "You cannot sing that song. We will not permit that song to be sung because it's got the name of God in it." And she testified that her parents whispered so her brother would never forget that God is a part of their country. Hungarian immigrant. I was blown away. Look what we take for granted in America. Anyway, that's just a couple of stories that are happening all across the state. Oh my goodness, Fresno. I just got back from there. They stopped pot from being sold in their city. The council was going to start selling pots, and one of the Hispanic pastors said, "I'm in the poorest cities and deal with there's liquor stores on every corner, and we deal with the brokenness and the broken families and people, and now you want to bring pot and bring more stuff into our city? Don't do it." The sheriff even stood up and said, sided with the pastors, and said, "We need to protect our communities. We need to help people, not lead them down a path of destruction." So how can you partner with Church United? I'm going to be wrapping it up. Next slide, please. How can you engage? If you want to support Church United, we'd love it. That's between you and God. You know, the funds I'm trying to raise, we give it all back. I don't have a building. I really don't have a staff. Just a lot of volunteers and gracious people. Your pastor's already engaged. Praise the Lord that the Springs Community Church is engaging. And that Pastor Bob is a part of that. And, of course, prayer. Prayer changes things. But I'm one that believes in we don't only pray. We put action to our prayers. And so there are a couple of things. There's a card in the back table. Desiree will be back there in the back. If you want to either partner with us financially, if you want to partner with prayer, you can just write on their prayer team. We'd love to add you to my prayer team. And kind of my prayer team gets a little bit more of the inside update of here's what's happening next. Could you be praying for this? I do about a monthly email to my entire email list. I don't like to bombard people with you know, a bunch of junk email or whatever, but just, hey, here's an update of what God's doing in our state. My business card's back there, and I don't think I had these last time, but I'm actually down. These are all I have left. But it's a little prayer magnet reminder to pray for myself and my family as we move forward and really take California for Christ. And I know it's just the vision, the heart the Lord's given me, and he's just doing an amazing work, and I'm seeing lives transformed. I'm seeing communities transformed. And by the way, you're not going to hear that in the fake media. The media is not about promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he does and what he brings, but it's been great to hear the stories that aren't reported. And I want to just continue to keep fanning the flame as I tell people, I'm just doing my part, my little part of the puzzle, my part of the body, what God can do through his people. So if you want to hang out or meet me afterwards, you can meet me or Desiree or my wife Amanda and our kids at the back table, but would love to have you partner with us, however you feel appropriate. But thanks for having me here this morning. It's been more than a pleasure and an honor, and I think I'm going to close in prayer, and I'll invite the worship team to come on up. Heavenly Father, you are a good, gracious, and merciful God. Lord, you can restore the ears the locusts have eaten, as it says in Joel, Lord, if we just turn our hearts, we rend our hearts to you. And I just ask if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that hasn't turned their heart to you, Lord, that they would do that, Lord, that they'd come to experience your son, Jesus, Lord, that their heart and mind would be transformed by the blood of Jesus, Lord. And God, it's more than just saying a prayer. It's about being transformed and walking. But if you're prompting someone's heart, Lord, I pray that they would talk to someone here on the worship team or a staff or one of the church members here, Lord, that you would just continue to change them. Lord, and those of us who have been changed, God, I pray you would just reignite within us the joy, the power, the transformation that can take place, and that we would be living testimonies to advance your kingdom for your goal and your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.